but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
This radio show has been on for 18, 19, 20 years? I don't know. Lost count. But one of the fun moments in show history came in the old building, Stephen. This was long ago. You were probably in grade school. Came long ago in the old building when John Strong, the voice of American soccer, was in the seat that you're in. And we used to, it used to be more of a variety show. We would just do weird things. Like we would throw a watermelon off the top of the building to see how it landed. We once brought in the gymnastics team that was doing a bunch of gymnastics routines and while we're on air. And we had Megan Rapinoe come into the studio years ago, and John Strong was bragging that he had been a goalkeeper in high school, bragging about his skills, talking about the good old days. And we got Megan Rapinoe in studio to kick penalty kicks down the radio station hallway with John Strong in goal. And the soccer ball we used was kind of an undersized soccer ball, but it was a real ball, but it was a smaller ball. And we didn't have a goal, of course, but we took a can of black spray paint. Cadillac Chris Brown had this great idea. There was this big wall at the end of the hallway, and he spray painted a goal on the wall. We got in trouble for that. And Megan Rapinoe was delighted to line up and kick penalty kicks against John Strong. And some of the best moments of that series was balls that John Strong actually blocked, because she was kicking rockets down the hall. I mean, you can imagine, this is like future Olympian, University of Portland, soccer star, MVP, national champion, Megan Rapinoe kicking rockets down this hallway with John Strong in goal, and she like hit him right in the chest with a shot, and I think he was delighted that he got the save, but I was delighted that he got the save as well, because it was like he was just getting hammered down the hallway. There's a movie coming out. Portland filmmaker made a documentary about Megan Rapinoe and Christine Sinclair and the 2005 University of Portland women's soccer team. Documentary is going to be called Unmatched, the team that changed the beautiful game. Kickstarter campaign is out there, and we're bringing on the director. Joel Kuffner is coming on to kind of talk about this, and he's joining us now. Joel, thank you for joining us, and thanks for what you're trying to do here. Give us an idea. What is it about Christine Sinclair and Megan Rapinoe that caught your attention?
Well, John, first, thank you so much. And before I get into that, I was working for the UP athletic department at that time and was the PR person who helped set up Megan Rapinoe to do that penalty kick shootout.
Yes.
So
yes.
You're bringing it full circle here, and I
love
so
that.
That you brought that up.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I grew up in North Portland, grew up a mile away from the campus, been going to UP soccer games my whole life since the early 90s. And I was actually a student at the time, so I went to school with Megan and Christine, and I got to watch them close up as a student and, of course, follow their amazing careers, you know, in international and professional soccer. And, you know, it's kind of amazing. These two titans of global soccer went to college and were college teammates at the University of Portland, you know, the smallest school to ever win a national championship in soccer. And here they are, you know. So it's just kind of an amazing story about Portland. And I'm just really excited to be able to help tell it.
Yeah, that YouTube video, Megan Rapinoe joins the bald-faced truth. It's got 100,000 views. You can watch John Strong get hit in the breadbasket if you'd like to. But all right, so you're there at the time. You're watching it unfold. You know, when you're there, and you know, Christine Sinclair and Megan Rapinoe obviously go on to do wonderful things internationally and professionally. But did you have a sense at the time of what you were sitting on and what you were seeing?
I mean, with Christine Sinclair, she was just sort of amazing from the jump. I mean, she was basically the best player in college soccer starting her freshman year and throughout her entire career. And, you know, Megan was a little bit more of a secret. She had redshirted her first season and no one really knew what to expect. And she just kind of came out of nowhere and just dominated, unlike really any freshman had prior to then, except maybe Christine, you know, her freshman year. So, you know, she had a tough history at UP. She tore her ACL twice and, you know, had kind of a, you know, an amazing first year and an incredible last year after her injuries and then, you know, had the amazing career afterward. But, yeah, I think anybody who remembers those games in 2005 knew there was something special happening with those two players.
The Kickstarter campaign, give us an idea of, you know, what are you guys looking for? If people want to get involved, how do they get involved?
Yeah, thank you. You know, first, they can find it if they go to our website, unmatchedfilm.com. You know, they can find all the links there. But, you know, we're producing this film independently. We are, you know, of course, would love to have it reach a huge audience. And, you know, we're all local filmmakers, a really passionate group of people that are trying to tell this great story. And, yeah, we're just looking to raise a little bit of money to help get this thing over the finish line.
The, you know, Unmatched, you know, the subhead is the team that changed the beautiful game.
Yes.
How did they change the game in your mind?
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, you know, as I said, I've been going to games, you know, at UP since I was a kid. In 1992, University of Portland hosted North Carolina, and at the time it was the most attended women's soccer game in U.S. history. And that happened at UP in 1992. And, you know, this team in 2005 broke all attendance records for men's and women's college soccer, went on to lead, you know, the nation in attendance for 10 years. And, you know, the Thorns launched in 2013, and they blew away all the other teams in the NWSL when they launched. And, you know, the question is kind of why? Why did that happen in Portland? And, you know, and that the Portland Thorns success, you know, had a carry-on effect to, you know, the rest of the NWSL, and look where it is now. And a lot of the seeds were planted right there in 2005, you know, when this city just went crazy for women's soccer. And, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, Megan Rapinoe's work in pay equality, Christine Sinclair, the all-time international leading goal scorer for men's or women's soccer. I mean, you know, the impact of these players and of that team, both in, you know, global soccer and here in Portland is pretty profound. And, you know, I think it's a story that maybe not a lot of people realize. So we're excited to tell it.
I think, you know, there's so much soccer history, obviously, on the Bluff, and so much, you know, Clive Charles, so much a part of that. I can remember covering the, you know, the first national championship, the second national championship. I think that second one came against UCLA, and it was a dominating performance with Christine Sinclair leading the way. I think it was like 4-0, 5-0, something like that. But give me an idea of, you know, when this is all unfolding, you know, people always try to say culture is important, but you were immersed in the UP culture. Clive Charles set the tone. It's still there. You know, Nick Carlin Voigt comes on the show the other day. He's talking about Clive Charles. And how does that sustain for such a long period of time after someone passes?
It's honestly amazing. I mean, I went to Clive Charles soccer camps as a kid, you know, just like even in those moments, like you could kind of get a sense for that this was a special person. And John, we've interviewed, you know, more than 13 people for this film. I've talked to 50 or 60 people on the phone, you know, in researching this, and literally every single person talks about Clive. Talks about how special he was. I can pretty much guarantee get people to cry when they get to talking about Clive and just he was a special person, and he had an ability to make everybody feel special and, you know, just respected. And I don't know if there's a way to put it in words, but even people who played for him just briefly, you know, when he was coaching the U.S. men's Olympic team in 2000 or with the men's national team in 1998, you know, people who played with him just for a couple weeks still talk about the impact that he had on them. And we were just so blessed to have somebody like that in our city. And the legacy that he left at UP definitely continues to live on.
The interviews that you've done to this point, Christine Sinclair, Megan Rapinoe, others that have sat down, you know, there was a lot of attention on this team, but I don't think people, you know, at the time knew, hey, this might be the greatest soccer team ever assembled. Like, look at the talent. Like, later I went back and I went, wow, Christine Sinclair was on that team. Megan Rapinoe was on that team. There were, you know, Stephanie Lopez Cox was on that team. Like, that was just such an interesting sort of time to see, you know, time, place, and magic unfolding.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, at the time of that season, there was even more. I mean, yeah, Steph, Christine, and Megan, there was Angie Wozniak, who had already got played for Team USA. Lindsay Huey, who had already played for Team USA. There were four Team USA players on that team, plus Christine for Canada. You know, I mean, it's just like, what an amazing collection of people, you know. And, yeah, I mean, and I know you were covering that team at the time. I mean, there was a frenzy, you know, in this city following that team. It was really pretty amazing.
I am left thinking, you know, what's to do here? The Kickstarter campaign for people who want to get involved here has been launched, and you can play a part in this movie getting made. But wait, what's the timeline for this, Joe? Is, again, we're talking to Joe Kuffner, who's director of the film Unmatched, the team that changed the beautiful game. What's the timeline for you?
Oh, John, you're asking the hard questions now, all right? You know, certainly we still have more interviews to do. We still got editing to do. You know, obviously the 20th anniversary of the team is this fall. We would love to have it done by then. You know, obviously part of that will depend on how successful fundraising is and if we end up, you know, finding a distribution partner and whatever. But I would say for now, coming soon is the best I can probably say. I would love to have it out by the end of this year. We'll see if we can make that happen.
University of Portland is the smallest school to ever win a national championship in women's soccer, and in soccer,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
What? How does that happen? Is it just as simple as Clive Charles, or, you know, is that an oversimplification of it? Because there's so many people that came and were part of this, and including this team, six All-Americans, five national team players, you got global icons, you got, you know, a team that just on fire and, you know, better than the North Carolina teams of the 90s, yes, indeed. How does that
Indeed.
Happen?
Indeed. I mean, I think the short answer is Clive, honestly. But I think it's more than just him. One of the things that has kind of emerged in researching this story is that, you know, when Clive, he started off as the men's coach at UP, a couple years later became the women's coach. And one of the conditions that he gave on agreeing to become the women's coach was that everything would be equal. You know, equal scholarships, equal facilities, equal access to the fields, equal equipment, everything, right? And so he, very early on in the late 80s, you know, was willing to put in that investment and demanded that investment in women's sports and in that, on that women's team. And I think that was a big part of how UP became so successful so quickly. I mean, they made the Final Four like seven or eight times, you know, in the 90s leading up to the two championships that they won in 2002 and 2005. And I think a lot of that is certainly him and his coaching and his culture, but also a big part of his, you know, willingness to invest in women's sports at the time, which was not happening in a lot of places.
I think it's a neat project for people who want to get involved. Again, Joe, tell them where they need to go to see the campaign.
Absolutely. Just come to our website, unmatchedfilm.com, and they can find all the links there, learn more about the film, and support it if they'd like to. So.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, and thanks for all those years ago setting up that PK opportunity in the hallway of the
absolutely.
Old radio station. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned
yeah.
that. So
let me ask you.
Well.
Let me ask you this: like, were you with Megan as she drove over, or did she meet over? Because I'm kind of wondering, like, how I didn't really ask her, like, how are you feeling about this? Like, she was just excited to do it, and I don't know if many athletes would have been like, yeah, let me get in the hallway and warm up and then kick some soccer balls at, you know, some yahoos.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time with Megan, and she absolutely loves doing stuff like that. You know, yeah. She is not shy about being a public presence and doing some media and all that. You know, she's just so fun and so great. But I didn't drive her there. I think I got the phone call from you and helped set her up. But I don't remember how she got there. But
yeah, I just remember it was really weird. Thank you, Joe, for coming on. It was really weird, Stephen. Like, we were in a phase where we were doing a lot of different weird things. Like, I remember one day John Strong was, saying, oh, how hard he worked and whatever. And we said, oh, we'll get you a massage. And he was like, oh, that's really nice. And then we found a masseuse who did a massage with her feet only. She only used her feet to give massages. And we brought her in studio, and he had to lay down on the floor, and she just basically walked all over him. And so it was kind of a funny bit, you know, like, you asked for a massage, you got somebody's feet all over your back, and which didn't at all sound that relaxing to me. He was talking about being a goalkeeper, and then we were like, well, we have the best soccer player in the country. She was the MVP of the WCC and, you know, had obviously won a national championship and been part of this great team. And so we said, oh, Megan Rapinoe's going to come in studio. Bring your goalkeeping stuff, and we'll see if you can stop her. He was excited. He brought his gloves and got, you know, he got all ready in the hallway, I still think I have the audio of it, but it doesn't do it justice, because the real beauty of it is on YouTube. And if you search Megan Rapinoe in Baldface Truth,
I just tweeted it out from the 750 The Game Twitter account. I'll see if I can put it on Instagram as well from that as well. So yeah, go check out that. The YouTube video is hilarious. So I just tweeted that out. So go check it out at 750 The Game, and you can see 2008.
And one of the things that was funny is she, like, there's a administrative assistant who wanders into the hallway because there was a copy machine or a fax machine in the hallway, and the lady just walks into the hallway, goes about her business, and Megan's kicking soccer balls, and she just kind of looks over at her and, like, continues to copy things. And, you know, it's very interesting to kind of see that unfold. But she was a really good sport, and we've had fun with Megan Rapinoe a couple times on the show. In 2015, we sent Chop after her, because we used to do this thing where it was called Chopped, and we had Chop, who was producing the show back then, and he would ask the athletes a bunch of different random questions, and it was kind of a get-to-know-you segment. Here's a little clip. I might not play the whole thing, but here's Chop asking Megan Rapinoe questions.
First off, congrats on the win in the opener against Australia. How's the focus of the team heading into the match with Sweden on Friday?
I think everyone's feeling good. I think it was important for us, obviously, to get that result. And I think started the game, even the first half, really, with a little bit of jitters. But I think the second half, we really kind of calmed down and found ourselves much more in the game. The subs coming off the bench were crucial for us, I think. I think especially when Tobin Heath came in.
But yeah, she gets into, like, the soccer stuff. But the best part of the interview comes here. I'm going to fast forward into it. When he just starts peppering her with questions and sports chopping her, as we used to call it. All right, here we go. I think I can get her right about
likely. Yeah, right. I think my shoulder would be ripped out.
What's on the iPod right now?
Oh, what's on the iPod? I listened to Game Day. A little Kendrick Lamar was on there. I just downloaded a Fleet Foxes album.
Ooh.
Something else I just downloaded as well. The new Monsters of Men.
Is there a specific song that kind of motivates you before game day that you tune into, like, every match?
No, it kind of changes. It's kind of whatever I'm sort of vibing with at the moment. I was listening to King Kunta on the way to this match. Has a good kind of, like, it's got a hip-hop beat, but it's, like, got some funk in it as well. So I was getting into that one.
What's the last music concert you saw?
I went to a Monsters and Men, a little concert. They had KEXP's kind of local radio station up in Seattle, and they do these in-studio performances, but this one was at a venue. It was kind of like a fundraiser for them, so they played three or four songs. It was really like a small, kind of intimate little environment, and they were amazing.
Biggest inspiration growing up?
Biggest inspiration. I loved Michael Jordan. I mean, his on-court presence and his, you know, his swagger and just his whole demeanor. I had never seen seen anyone like that. And then Tiffany Milbert growing up as well. As I started watching the women's team, I was like, that chick is awesome.
Would you trade your Olympic gold medal for a World Cup title?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would. I wouldn't want to. I'd want to have both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, oh, I don't know. It, for me, they're two totally different, in two totally different realms. I mean, for a footballer, the World Cup is everything. But I grew up, I'm a huge fan of the Olympics, and I was rooted to the floor during all of them, watching all the backstories and everything. So I'm a big fan of the Olympics, too, but the World Cup's everything.
There's Megan Rapinoe getting chopped on this show. So she's been a good sport over the years. She blew up and got big time not long after that. But, Stephen, we haven't asked you to do anything nutty. Like, I remember once upon a time we lit a Lakers jersey on fire. We had people pole dancing on the pole that was outside the studio. We had, like, professional pole dancers that were on the stop sign that was outside the old studio window. And we did it kind of as a gag, but we've cooled it on that stuff in recent years. I think we've matured is what it is.
Well, I think most radio has. Like, that was a different age of radio, right? Like, you could get away with a lot more stuff then than you could now.
I don't think we could get away with lighting that Lakers jersey on fire. We had an intern that wore a Lakers jersey frequently, particularly when the Lakers were in town. And we thought it would be a good thing to try to prank the guy to make him think that we were burning his jersey but not really burn his jersey. And we were like, oh, you're a Lake. We're sick of these Laker fans. We're bringing it. And so we got his Lakers jersey off him, and then we subbed it out with another jersey that looked like his Lakers jersey. We poured lighter fluid on it in the parking lot. Probably a bad idea. Lit it on fire. When he saw it, he kind of ran towards it, scared, thought, oh, my God. And it turned out that we weren't really burning his Lakers jersey, but we were actually causing a fire in the parking lot, which is probably not a good idea either. We got away with it in those days. And by those days, I mean like 15 years ago. So we shall see. All right, leave it here. Much more ahead, including Marcus Mariota speaking out. You'll want to hear it.